tune out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday, the 20th of July, 2026, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, today is the last day of Keir Starmer as Prime Minister. As I'm recording this, all the journalists are outside Number 10 waiting for him to give his farewell speech, and of course we have the new Prime Minister stepping in, the new leader of the Labour Party, Andy Burnham. And to be honest, he's actually done two positive things. He has said that he's going to get rid of the digital ID, the compulsory digital ID, which was Keir Starmer's pet project, forcing everybody to lose their anonymity online. So he's going to get rid of that, which I think is very positive. I was not expecting to hear that. He's also going to issue licenses for Britain to drill for oil in the North Sea. And I did hear as well that he was going to stop David Lammy's plan to abolish juries, trial by jury. So all in all, I mean, that's three very positive steps that I was not expecting. I'm sure we'll come to find things to complain about with Andy Burnham, but so far, yes, he's done very well, and I can't complain, can't criticise him, in actual fact, for that. One group that I can criticise is the British police, and we're going to be talking about the British police today in particular. The first article that we have comes from GB News, and the headline is "Police Officers Forced to Write Anti-Racism Reflections During Diversity Training as Force Accused of Two-Tier Policing." So they're literally getting the police to write essays on anti-racism rather than training the police to go after criminals. The actual training that the police get is absolutely paltry. It's something like 3 weeks training, something ridiculous like that, or 3 months instead of 6 months, which it should be. And a lot of that time is now spent on diversity, inclusion and equity training rather than actually teaching them how to stop violent criminals. And of course, I've seen some incidents recently where you've had violent criminals attacking a white man, and the black criminals run off and the police run in and arrest the white man who was getting beaten up. And of course, we've had plenty of videos that we've seen of female police officers not being able to catch the criminals as they run away. We have police that are certainly under 6 foot. It used to be a requirement that they were all 6 foot. Of course, that meant that you would only have strong lads basically in the police. Now you have women and you have short people, and they're not actually able to catch criminals, and they spend most of their time persecuting people for things that they say online, which of course our American listeners just find absolutely unbelievable, that anybody could be arrested for something that they said. Police officers are being forced to write anti-racism reflections during diversity training as the industry continues to be hit with accusations of two-tier policing. And of course, the government deny that there's any two-tier policing, but it's so obvious to everybody that there is two-tier policing. Of course, it all came to a head with Henry Novak when he was saying, "I've been stabbed." And then you had a Sikh there saying, "He's been racist towards me." And the police decided to listen to the Sikh rather than listen to the man who had just been stabbed with a trail of blood behind him. Surrey police are now at the heart of a renewed row over diversity, equity and inclusion programmes after it was revealed its officers were instructed to pen 500-word personal essays on what they think about their employer's view on racism. I guess you could say, well, this is a sneaky test to see whether they can actually read and write. Of course, we now have problems with literacy, with people leaving school and not able to read and write to an acceptable standard. It's not even necessary that you have to know how to speak English, read and write English, in order to get into university. Now, everything has become so dumbed down. As part of the drive towards diversity, employees were also forced to attend DEI lessons, all at the cost of the British taxpayer. And what is diversity, equity and inclusion? Well, diversity is replacing as many white people as possible. Equity means giving people the same amount of pay, whether they actually deserve it or not. And inclusion means being completely intolerant of anybody who has a different opinion to you. Therefore, it only includes people who have the same opinions as the DEI people and the mainstream media. Of course, all of that came about because of Tony Blair's equality legislation, which said that every arm of the state had to be seen to be promoting diversity and, of course, promoting underrepresented ethnic minority groups, or just underrepresented groups, which they decided were women, ethnic minorities, homosexuals. And then you go on from wanting to see more representation of them to wanting to see them get the same amount of money, regardless of the work that they do, to then wanting anybody who disagrees with that to be excluded. And that's effectively what DEI is. It's pretty much the opposite of what it claims to be, because it's the opposite of diversity of opinion. In their reflections, the officers are forced to divulge their personal reactions and set out their commitment to change. And of course, if their personal reaction is, well, this is wrong and this is anti-white, then they're going to be kicked out of the police, aren't they? And you can't blame the police for these things that they're doing, because it's coming down from above. It's being taught to them in these lessons, in their diversity training that they have to go through. And if they go against what they've been told, then they're not a good police officer, are they? If they're not going to obey the instructions that they're given in their training. So I don't blame the police for them being anti-white. The reason why they are anti-white is because of government policy. The anti-racism statement by Surrey and Sussex Forces reads, "We recognise that many races and ethnicities, particularly the black and the dual heritage communities, continue to experience disadvantages and barriers from the police service they are entitled to." Well, everybody is always treated the same. But if you've got somebody that says, well, the person that just robbed me is black, that's my description of him, he was black, then the police are going to go after a black person for the robbery, aren't they? That's what they mean by disadvantages and barriers. They mean that black people are more likely to be stopped by the police, but black people are more likely to be to fit a witness description of the criminal. Unfortunately, I mean, it's the same in whatever country you look at. They make up roughly five times as many murderers as their percentage of the population and violent crime. I heard the other day that one in three black Americans is a felon, a convicted felon, somebody who's been to prison. That's one in three. I mean, it's a very high number of them that are involved in crime. And of course, if you have an effective police force, then that means that they're going to be arresting disproportionate numbers of them. It's not that they are experiencing disadvantage from the police. You wouldn't say that men are experiencing a disadvantage from the police because there are 99 men arrested for every one woman. You would just say, well, men are more likely to commit crime. And it's the same with the black community, unfortunately. They're just more likely to commit crime. That's just the way that they are. They're also more likely to be the victims of crime. So if they say that, oh, it's a disadvantage to be arresting black criminals, well, that puts a disadvantage on the black victims, doesn't it? Because it says that the people that are likely to carry out criminal acts against them are less likely to be arrested for that and are less likely to be prevented from that. Of course, these arguments are not arguments that the people on the left are used to hearing. In fact, when they hear these arguments, they demand that we be shut down and silenced, and they call it misinformation. But you can just check the figures for yourself. You can check David Lammy's figures. You can go to the David Lammy Report, which was a government-commissioned report on disparities between the different communities that live in Britain. And you can see there the number of black people that are in prison for violent crime. You can see there the number of black people that are there as youths in the youth justice system, because they highlight those figures, because they are disproportionate. But they don't show that black people are at a disadvantage from the police. What they show is that black people are more likely to carry out those sorts of crimes. Continuing, we will move at pace to build capacity, capability, and the wider awareness to be anti-racist. So they're going to speed things up. This is what we always hear from the Labour Party. They always say, oh, the problem is we're moving too slowly. Change isn't fast enough. As if people want things to move faster, as if people want things to be even more anti-white. And that's what they're saying here. They want to build capacity, capability, and a wider awareness to be anti-racist. Of course, they'll say, oh, well, nobody, we should be against racists. But unfortunately, this term anti-racist just means anti-white, because it's only white people that can be racist. We will proactively seek to interrogate why disadvantages and barriers exist. Well, I've explained why they exist. Look at the statistics. They're the same in every multicultural country. If you want to look at a control group, look at the crime statistics in South Africa, for instance. They collect statistics there. They might not collect statistics in places like the Congo or Zambia or any of these other more obscure African countries. But some of these African countries do collect statistics on the number of crimes that take place. And if you see that there's a large number of crimes that take place there, then you can say, well, it's just black people commit more crime, isn't it? Because they can't be the victim of racism. It can't be that they're at a disadvantage from their own black police force, can it? They say to understand community trauma and to recognise the burden on those with lived experience, the document shared by The Telegraph added. Community trauma. What about the community trauma of being the victim of these crimes? This is what they forget. As if the only problem is that too many black criminals are being locked away. Well, there's too many black victims, isn't there? Community trauma. What about the trauma of the black mother whose black son has just been stabbed to death by another black man? And the black man walked past the police with a knife in his pocket, and the police didn't want to stop and search him because they knew they would be accused of being racist, because they knew that that would disproportionately impact the black criminals. I mean, that's all it disproportionately impacts. It doesn't disproportionately impact the victims. It disproportionately impacts black criminals. So they're effectively trying to give black criminals a pass, aren't they? Forces up and down Britain are fighting off critics, crying out over two-tier policing, as new revelations come to light about how diversity training operates within the police and justice system across the UK. Now, in a Freedom of Information request, Surrey Police is the latest to be accused of abiding by a, quote, catalogue of insanity, close quote, The Telegraph reported. Well, if you do look at it through the lens of common sense, I mean, it is completely insane, but they do try to come up with some kind of internal logic here. But they only come up with these reasons because they don't allow any other suggestions as being the reasons for this. It's because they look at these statistics and they say, well, the only reason that this can be happening is because black people are being discriminated against. And instead, they should look at it and they should say, well, are black people more likely to commit crimes? Isn't it more likely that the reason why they're disproportionately arrested and prosecuted and jailed is because they commit more crimes? I mean, there has been surveys done. In America, they did this. They surveyed the number of black people that were in jail for crimes, and then they surveyed the number of victims, and it was the same figures. So the people that were being put in jail, they were put in jail for the correct reasons, because the same number of victims said, yes, it was a black person that carried out this crime. We're recently hearing in America that there's large numbers of non-white criminals that have actually been put down as being white. Massive numbers. So when you hear about the numbers of white people that are committing crimes, there's it's been artificially inflated. Shadow Home Secretary Chris Philp ripped into the findings, branding the equality classes as a catastrophic waste of money. Yeah, well, where did they come from? I mean, this didn't all just arise during Keir Starmer's term as Prime Minister. All of this has been put in place over the last 20 years. And Chris Philp's party, the Conservative Party, they were in power for a large amount of that time. So why did they do nothing about this? I mean, this DEI stuff that the Surrey police are doing, that was put in place by Chris Philp's party. So how can he say, oh, well, it's a catastrophic waste of money? Well, you were the guy that was in power when this waste of money was actioned by your political party. Meanwhile, fellow Tory and Shadow Justice Secretary Nick Timothy called for the abolition of the public sector equality duty. Well, in order to do that, you'd have to get rid of Tony Blair's equalities bill, wouldn't you? I mean, they would be breaking the law to ignore the public sector equality duty. It's all there in the Equality Act. They have to actually be doing this. So in order to abolish the public sector equality duty, they would literally have to abolish the Equality Act. I think Reform have talked about that. Restore certainly have talked about that. Restore want to abolish the Equality Act. They want to get rid of the Public Order Act, the bit which says that you're not allowed to incite hate, which is basically be critical of certain groups. You're not allowed to be critical of certain groups unless you use particular language to do so. You're not allowed to be abusive, insulting or threatening. Restore want to get rid of that section from the Public Order Act. And I think they want to get rid of the parts of the Communications Act as well, and the Online Safety Act. So the best one out of all of them is Restore. They actually have a plan to right these wrongs. But to just say, oh, well, they should abolish the public sector equality duty, you can't do that unless you get rid of the Equality Act. The growth of DEI training in the police, justice system and wider public sector is alarming. Much of this so-called training, whether on unconscious bias, gender or institutional racism, is pure left-wing ideology, he fumed. It's this culture that leads to the kind of two-tier policing we witnessed with the handling of Henry Novak's murder. Of course, nationalists have been pointing this out for years. We've been saying all of this stuff is anti-white, is pure left-wing ideology, and we just get accused of being racist and white supremacists for doing so. You have organisations like GB News, such as the Daily Mail, and they will report on this sort of thing, and they'll report on the black and white crime. And then as soon as you get somebody that speaks up and says, well, we've got a two-tier system, something needs to be done about this, they start writing attack pieces and calling them Nazis and racists. I mean, this is what the Daily Mail have been doing to the Restore Party over the last few weeks. The Telegraph, again, have just carried out an attack piece on Restore. So these supposed conservative or right-thinking newspapers that cover these issues that are of interest to nationalists, as soon as a nationalist says, well, I want to do something about it, let's do some activism, they get attacked for it by the press. So it's like they just have this steam valve to let a little bit of steam out. We'll tell you what's going on. We'll say that the mainstream politicians are condemning this, and then we'll move on to the next subject. Because anybody that really does try to do something about this, they just get hammered in the press. They get called Nazis and racists in the same way that I did when they stuck me in jail for complaining about grooming gangs and the problems associated with immigration. Mr. Timothy also called for a culture change across the police and justice system, as well as the abolition of DEI officers, and urged officers to turn their focus towards solving crime instead. Well, these DEI officers, these advisors on diversity, again, that's part of the Equality Act, that you have to be seen to be promoting equality. So that means that you have to take people on specifically to improve diversity. That's what these diversity managers are. they have loads of them in the NHS, and they get paid ludicrous amounts of money. And effectively, the whole point of their position is just to replace white people. I mean, what group does its best and legislates to replace itself? I mean, that's what we've effectively done as white people. We've created legislation to tell us that by law we have to replace ourselves. A spokesman for Surrey Police said Surrey Police's foundation training includes lessons on culture and inclusion and on hate crime, as guided by the overarching training curriculum for new officers laid out by the College of Policing. So this is foundational training, is on culture, inclusion and hate crime. It's not on stopping burglaries or stopping robberies or stopping murders or stopping rapes. It's on culture, inclusion and hate crime. That's their foundation training. That's what everything else is built on top of. This is why when there was an accusation of racism made against Henry Novak, this is why that became more important than anything else. That became absolutely critical. It meant that they had to investigate that before they investigated anything else. That's because the foundation of the police is culture, inclusion and hate crime. So any accusation that is related to that has to take precedence. We do not instruct officers either to record or not record non-crime hate incidents. In March this year, it was announced nationally that the current non-crime hate incident system will be replaced with a new approach to keep individuals and communities safe, while making clear that lawful free speech is not a police matter. And we've talked about this a lot, these non-crime hate incidents. Effectively, somebody can do anything at all. And if somebody else then goes to the police and says, I think what that person did was motivated by hate, then the police have to believe the person that said that they think it was motivated by hate, and they have to record it as a non-crime hate incident. And we've seen these non-crime hate incidents being reported. Somebody thought that somebody pulled in front of them. That was motivated by racist hate. That was why the person pulled in front of them at the garage. Ridiculous things like this. And again, this comes from the McPherson report that was into investigating the police after Stephen Lawrence and the failures after Stephen Lawrence. They said if somebody makes an accusation of racism, because traditionally the police have been seen as an enemy of black people, in order to have better relations between black people and the police, if somebody makes an accusation of racism, the police have to believe that accusation. Because who is going to be better to know if something is racist or not than a black person? So you have to believe that person. They then become the victim and you have to believe it. Of course, what that's effectively saying is that the person that makes the accusation is both the judge, jury and the executioner, really, because you're not allowed to question what they've said. What they've said is fine. And if they say, oh, well, it was racist, then it was racist and you can't argue against that. And this is why I was surprised by that employment tribunal that we were talking about last week, where it said that using the term coloured was not racist. Because if a black person says, well, I think it is racist, according to all the guidance, then it is racist because a black person says that it is. So the fact that a judge then said, well, actually, I don't think that's reasonable, that actually goes against the guidelines. As far as criminal law is concerned, as I say, that was employment law, so that might be slightly different. But this is what the police are being taught. They're being taught that if somebody says something was done out of race hate, then it was done out of race hate. They cannot question it. They just have to accept it. So what they're saying here is with these non-crime hate incidents, all they're doing is they're renaming it. And they're still going to record these incidents. They're going to say that lawful free speech is not a police matter. But they haven't said that they're no longer going to just take what people say as the gospel truth when they make these accusations. There hasn't been any guidance saying, well, you have to be reasonable and think, oh, is that likely to actually be racist, or is there a chance that that could have just been innocently pulling in front of somebody else in order to get to the petrol pump first, as I was saying, in that instance of somebody pulling in front of someone and then being accused of racism. Surrey police officers are directed to follow force policy and the authorised professional practice issued by the College of Policing. Again, this is why you can't blame the police for doing these things. They've been told they have to do them. We have to have a police force. It's just the same as we have to have an army. And both the army and the police, there has to be a hierarchy of command, and they have to obey their instructions. Otherwise, they're no good. The fault is the instructions that they're being given, and they come from the government. They are the ones at fault. You can't abolish the police because some of the instructions that the police have been given are ridiculous. And the same under the same thing, you cannot expect the police to disregard their instructions either, because then they wouldn't be an effective police force. They have to obey these instructions. The murder of the 18-year-old university student, Henry Novak, prompted outrage after police released shocking footage of Mr. Novak being arrested, while his killer, Vikram Digwa, accused the teen of racially abusing him. It's horrendous, that footage. Last week, the mother, Henry Novak's, Vikram Digwa's mother, was jailed for 3 years for hiding the weapon. And she hid the weapon amongst a mountain of other weapons. I mean, this entire family, they had knuckle dusters, knives, machetes, like dozens of lethal weapons that they actually had within the home. And she put the knife with all the other knives. Now, she's been given 3 years. She's been on remand, I think, since November. And she'll be let out after 40% of her sentence. So she really only has a few months to go, basically, while she's in prison. So that's also been accused of being a particularly light sentence. And you have to think, how many other Sikhs are like this? Vikram Digwa was a part of this Sikh sect that's called the Warrior Sect. And they idolise weapons, basically. I mean, how many others from this Sikh sect have we actually got living in the country? I saw an interview with a Sikh MP the other day, and he was saying, well, this knife I have is ceremonial. I'm only allowed to use it for self-defence. Well, no, you're not supposed to use it for self-defence. It's against the law for you to use a knife for self-defence. You've got it written into law that you can have a ceremonial knife. That's ceremonial. It shouldn't even have a point on the end of it. You know, it could be plastic. It's just there for ceremony. It doesn't have to be actually used. And yet this MP said, oh, I'm only allowed to use it for self-defence. So even an MP doesn't actually understand what the law is. And the reason why they have these knives is so that they have them to use for self-defence. And yet that's not what this exemption was put in law for. It said that they were allowed to have them on them as a ceremonial knife. And how many of these Sikh warrior sect have we got living in the country that idolise weapons? With his hands tied behind his back, Mr. Novak repeatedly told officers that he had been stabbed and was unable to breathe, while his murderer was treated as a victim of racist abuse. And we've also recently heard from somebody else that was there that his dying words were, I'm not a racist. So the poor lad died trying to say that he's not a racist. And that's, you know, that's effectively a symbol of what's happening to the white race at the moment. It's in its death throes, and its dying words are, I'm not racist. In response to the student's desperate pleas for help, a policeman responded, don't think you have, mate. It took officers 8 minutes to discover that Mr. Novak had been stabbed. And this is, even though there's a trail of blood behind him. Two officers involved are alleged to have failed to recognise the teenager needed immediate medical attention after he was stabbed multiple times, the Independent Office for Police Conduct confirmed. And they're also now going after the police in a separate investigation, which I think is wrong. It's the guidance itself which is at fault, not these police officers. They did what they had been told they were supposed to do, and that is to prioritise allegations of racism. One of the officers was accused of appearing to dismiss Mr. Novak after being informed that he had been stabbed. The police themselves did. The police spokesman at the time said, the police didn't know that he had been stabbed. Well, Henry Novak kept saying, I've been stabbed. It's just that they didn't listen to him because he was white. After Digwa's sentencing, it was revealed that officers within the police force responsible for the Mr. Novak's moments before his death claimed they felt controlled and pressured after being subjected to mandatory diversity training, a survey revealed. And I think we talked about that in an earlier Daily Nationalist episode about how pressured they are to go along with this. I mean, this story here, which is about them writing an essay, if they said in this essay, well, I think this is anti-white, they would lose their job, wouldn't they? You know, they have to go along with the diversity training if they want a job, if they want employment. Hampshire and Isle of Wight constabulary staff are trained to be aware of racism, unconscious bias and privilege alongside contested critical race theory. I mean, none of that should be what the police are trained in. All that time, all that training time should be spent in preventing crime, not on racism, unconscious bias and white privilege. And all of that is politicised, besides it being useless as far as solving and preventing crime is concerned. One in seven of those at the force had felt controlled and pressured to adopt these notions, living in fear that mistakes would have been held against them. And that's the majority of the population now lives in fear about what words they can and cannot use. People are too frightened to express their views about immigration, their views about grooming gangs, because they've seen so many people, including myself, sent to jail for condemning these issues, basically, and using strong language to condemn these issues. A fifth also said they feared being rejected for saying the wrong thing. Again, it's all about conformity. Where's this famous diversity that they talk about, diversity of opinion? Well, there is no diversity of opinion. There's just conformity. And if you have your own opinion, well, watch out, because the police will be coming for you if you express that opinion using old-fashioned English. Anyway, there is hope on the horizon. I believe we have another article here. Let me just get the headline up. Government report finds British police must exit culture wars and get back to catching real criminals. So at least there is a spotlight on this, and there is a spotlight on this two-tier policing at the moment. Don't let Henry Novak's death be in vain. Let's make sure that something is done about this. Hopefully let's get restore Britain in power so that they can undo the Equality Act, because that's what needs to happen. They need to abolish the Equality Act before they can start talking about changing these instructions to the police, because the police force have to obey the Equality Act, don't they? That's at the root of all these problems. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.